Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Daf Nun Gimel. In our last discussion, we touched on the topic of the fire or the candle that one is allowed to use for the Havdalah of Motzei Shabbos. We mentioned that it must be a candle that was Shavas Machmas Meleches Aveira. And one example of that, Rashi pointed out, is that it was not lit on Shabbos. With that in mind, we continue our sugya. You'll notice the 2 dots in the middle of the line. And before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our topic heading, the Nosei. 2 points. One, Nochri Shehidlik Mizrael, a Gentile who lit a candle from a Jewish flame after it got dark on Motzoi Shabbos. And number 2, Yisrael Shehidlik Minochri, or a Jew that lit a flame from a Gentile's candle. The Tanaic source, Tanu Rabbanan, Nochri Shehidlik Mizrael, a Gentile who lit a candle from a flame owned by a Jew. Saturday night, the Yisrael Shehidlik Minochri, likewise a Jew that lit from a Gentile. Saturday night, Mevorchen Alav, one is able to make a bracha over it. Nochri Minochri Ein Mevorchen Alav. However, if you come across a flame owned by a Gentile who lit it from a fellow Gentile, so that is not a flame that one is able to make the bracha over. The Gemara asks a question, and you'll notice the question itself is a long question. The shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a ascending vertical dashed line indicates the length of this question. My shno nochri minochri deloi. Why is it that a Gentile lit from a Gentile that one is not allowed to make a bracha over that? Mishum delo shavas, because it did not. It was not at rest. Literally, it was not something that was extinguished over Shabbos. It was burning over Shabbos. It was lit on Shabbos. The original fire was lit on Shabbos. Ihochi Yisrael minochri nami halo shavas. Well, in the case that was featured in the source of Yisrael that lit from a nochri, which the source says is okay, but the original fire was not something that was at rest. The original Gentile fire was lit on Shabbos. V'chitema, you might try to argue, hach isura ozole v'ho achrinahu ubiyado di Yisrael komis yalda, that the original Isser, which was the original Gentile flame, once it's transferred to the Jewish flame and continues burning, so the continued burning is not the original Isser. It's not the original prohibited energy. Rashi on the first narrow line says, "Hachi sura ozlo mitoch sheshalheves dolekes vehodleches kama kama porachle." As the flame continues burning, continues consuming fuel, so it's considered a new type, a new form, or a new source of combustion, and therefore the original iser is not there anymore. So Ella, if you analyze things like that, and therefore approve of the Yisrael Shidlik Minochri, Eloha Desanya, then what about the following? Hamotzi Shalhevis Rishus Rabim Chayov. If a person carries from a private domain on Shabbos into the public domain, it's called being Motzi Mirshus Lirishus, and he does so with a flame on Shabbos, so he's considered culpable. Amai Chayov, why is he guilty? Ma Sheokar Lohiniach, Uma Shiniach Lo Okar. That which he was okar means that which he picked up from the private domain is no longer the same thing that he's placing down in the public domain, because you're saying as it continues burning, it's something, it's renewed, or renewed isn't maybe enough a strong enough expression, it's brand new. Each moment, each few seconds of burning is considered a new flame. So in order to be chayav, in order to be guilty on Shabbos of Meleches Hatzol, one would have to pick up from one domain and place down in the other domain the same item. The item that you did your Akira and Hanacha to was the same thing. But if you're going to try to argue that that the Yisrael Shidlik Minochri is okay because it's being renewed all the time, so then why does this Isser of Hoitzah regarding a Shalheves, a flame, apply on Shabbos? Ela Li'olam the Isura Nami Isei. Rather, we have to say that the original energy is still there. V'chikom Mevorech Atoisfo Ta Tehetero Kamavorech. That what you are making a bracha over is the additional new energy that's represented by the burning. So that as a flame is burning, there's original energy there plus new energy. And when we make the bracha, in the case of the Yisrael Shehidlik Minochri, I'm making the bracha over the new energy that's burning on Saturday night. So the Gemara asks an Ihochi Nochri Minochri Nami, then why don't we sanction the case of a Gentile that lit a candle Saturday night from a candle that was originally lit by a Gentile, which even if it were lit on Shabbos, that shouldn't present a problem in light of the new analysis that we're giving. I'm sure you all enjoyed the pun there of in light of, but that's the case. So the Gemara answers in Hochinami. You are right that Nochri Minochri should be allowed on principle. However, Gzeiro Mishum Nochri Rishon the Omud Rishon. We nevertheless want to impose a restriction in anticipation of someone allowing, based on Nochri Minochri, allowing himself to make a bracha on the original Nochri flame immediately as Shabbos lets out. And that would be a fundamental problem. That would be a Me'ikur Hadin problem of a ner that was not Shavas Mimleches Avera. So since the original Nochri flame is prohibited if you were to make a bracha on it immediately after Shabbos, we don't want you to come to that stage, so we ban Nochri Minochri as well. And Rashi explains this very clearly. Gzero Mishum Nochri Rishon V'omud Rishon Ishoras B'Nochri Shidlik Minochri, Rashi says. If we would allow the case of Gentile candle lit from Gentile candle, Misha Hashecha, even after dark, even after Saturday night sets in, Osi Levruchi Benochri Shidlik Mi Ba'oid Royoim Uba'oisa Oir Atzmo Shalonis Vasek Mishachashecha. A person will come to allow himself to light make a broch on the first Nochri's candle on the first moment of burning, right as Shabbos leaves, Kigon Shemavorech Olav Somach Lechashecha Miad, and that everyone will acknowledge is the problem. So we ban Nochri Minochri in anticipation of the Nochri Rishon case. However, and Tosfos elaborates a little bit further on this, but to ban Yisrael Minochri, that's already what's called a gzeiro l'gzeiro, or that's going too far in issuing rabbinic prohibition, so hence that is allowed. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a Tanaic source, and you'll notice a bow tie shape, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivne heading, you'll notice the bow ties highlight Sidro Shel Mekoros, a series of sources, beginning with the expressions Hoya Mahale Chutz Lekrach, a person was walking on Saturday night outside a city, Be'inyan Shel Eza Or Efshir Levarach, regarding what kind of a light source or fire is suitable for the Brocha. So we continue with a few different cases. Tonu Rabbanan, Hoy Mahale Chutz Lekrach, a person was walking outside of a city, Ve'ro'o Or, and he sees light, he sees flames, im roiv nochrim eino mevorach. If the majority of the population are Gentile, so you cannot use that for a brocha. Im roiv Yisrael, then mevorach. If it's roiv Yisrael, so then he can make the brocha. Ha gufa kashya. This source leaves room for an internal contradiction. Amris, you said on the one hand, and this is a standard style of Gemara, of taking the beginning and the end of a source and making inferences from each phrase and seeing what the result is regarding the inference. So this source featured two cases of majorities. What about the case of 50%, a 50-50? So that's not in the source. So the Gemara says, Hagu fakashia, Amris im roiv nochrim einu mevorach. When is it that you're restricted? If it's majority Gentile, so we'll assume that we're talking about a flame that was lit by Gentiles on Shabbos, and that is usur to make a brach over on Motsoi Shabbos. Inference, ha mechtzah mechtzah, but if it's 50-50, the population 50% Jewish, 50% Gentile, mevorech, you could make the bracha. V'hodar tani, and then you teach, im roiv Yisrael mevorech, if the majority are Jews, then you can make the bracha. Ha mechtzah mechtzah, eino mevorech, but it's 50-50, then you would not be allowed to make a bracha. Notice the dashed underlining of under mechtzah mechtzah. First case, it results in you're able to make the bracha. In the second case, no. So the Gemara answers, Bedin hu de'afilu mechza mechza nami mevorech. By letter of the law, if it's 50-50% population, namely 50% population Gentile, 50% Jewish, we would allow the bracha over that fire that you see. The ID to Tana Ratio, Roiv Nachrim, since the beginning of the source started with a case of majority, mentioning majority, Tana Seifa Roiv Yisrael. So the Seifa, the second part, also teaches a case of a majority, but not for the purpose of making an inference from it. So in effect, this source that we read has a room for inference, but only from the resha, and that is that if it's rove nochri, you cannot make a bracha, but 50-50 you could, and that's the way the Gemara ends. We continue with the next example. Tana Rabbanan hoye mahalech chutz lekrach v'ro tinoik v'avuka biyadoi. Person is walking outside a city, meets up with a child, and the child is holding a torch. We check it out. Im Yisrael hu mevorech. Im Nochri hu einu mevorech. If the child is Jewish, then make a bracha over his torch. And if he is a Nochri, then no. My iritinok, why feature a child? Afilu godol nami, even if it were an adult, the same halacha would apply. Here we're talking about a case that is literally seconds after the setting of the sun. We're dealing with a very precise point in time, the very end of Shabbos, just as Shabbos exits. Godol mukhamilsa devadei nochrihu. If you ran into an adult holding a torch right as Shabbos let out, so it's clear that you're dealing with a Gentile. A Jew wouldn't be holding a torch just at the second Shabbos lets out. Tinok, on the other hand, a child, Amar Yisrael hu ikri v'nokid. It could be a Jewish child. That child is not so responsible for his knowledge of Shabbos laws, and he might have grabbed, he might be holding it, or he might have made it. And therefore, there is still room for allowance based on the fact that he is not a Gentile, but rather Jewish. But if it were an adult, as we said, you wouldn't have to check anything out. Because if it were an adult, it would be definitely a Gentile flame, and you would not be allowed to use it. Tanu Rabbanan, hoyo mahalech chutz lekrach v'ro ur. Person is walking outside of a city, and he notices a flame. Im ove kepi hakivshon mevorech olav. If it has the width or the thickness of the entrance to an oven, it's a certain size, that is considered of significance, so then you can use it for the bracha. V'im lav, eino mevarech olav. If we look in the Rashi, kepi ha-kivshan, a few lines up in the Rashi, shesurfu ba'avonim l'sid, a kivshan is a furnace in which stones are burnt for the purpose of making them into sid. Sid is a type of lime, which is used for whitewashing. So it's a furnace in which stones are burnt. There's very intense heat, and the stones eventually become pulverized, and you make it into what's called sid. So im ova ka'ur hayotze mikpi akivshan, if the flame that you see has that dimension, the flame that one would see as he's looking at the entrance to a furnace. So Nahiru Bori, it's a strong, clear flame. Ulishtamish Loro Inasis, and it is used for its light value. In other words, it has enough luminance that one would be able to benefit from it. And if not, so then one doesn't make a bracha over it. The Gemara continues, and you'll notice we have little numbers, and these are references to a couple of Tanaic sources. The first number corresponds to a source dealing with Orshel Kivshan, and one source indicates it is suitable for a bracha, and the other one, no. And the case number two will be simply another case where we have two sources regarding a Tanur Shel Kirayim, and the third will be a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. So you can see on the side of our Gemara, we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, the diamond is featured, and there are three Mikrim, three cases, Ubechol Echad, Shnei Brises HaSoisros, two Tanaic sources under each number that are contradictory. B'inyan Birkas Ha'ur Shel Motzei Shabbos, regarding the bracha over the fire on Saturday night. So Toni Chada, one source says, Or Shel Kivshan Mevorchen Olav, the light coming forth from a furnace is suitable for a bracha. V'tanya Idoch Ein Mevorchen Olav, the other source says, no, it's not suitable. Lo Kashia, the Gemara says, these are not really contradictory. Ha B'tchila Ha Lebesof. Betchila, at the beginning of the burning, so it's not strong enough for producing light, and therefore it's not suitable for a bracha. However, after it's been burning for a long time and the heat and the flame becomes intense, so the light cast is suitable for its luminescence, and hence usefulness for light. Toni Chada, another case, or Ur Shel Tanur Vishel Kirayim Mevorchen Olav, the flame from an oven. This is a baking oven, and a kirayim also is a baking or cooking oven. You can use for a bracha. V'tani Idoch Ein Mevorchen Olav. Another source says no, lo kashya. Again, no contradiction. Ha betchila, ha lebesof. At the beginning, then it's not an intense enough or strong enough flame to produce light, and hence not suitable for a bracha. But after it's been burning for a while, so the flame becomes very luminescent, and therefore is suitable for a bracha. Third case, Toni Chada, or Shel Beis HaKnes or Beis HaMedrash Mevorchen Olav, a flame or a torch in a shul or a study hall, Torah study hall, is suitable for a bracha. V'tanya idach ein mevorchen olav, and the other source says no. Again, lo kashya, no contradiction. However, the distinction is not based on tchila v'sof as we had before, but a new distinction. And we should point out, we have little numbers that are circled. There are three approaches to this third diamond case. So the first answer, or first resolution, lo kashya ha deika adam choshuv ha deleka adam choshuv. Regarding adam choshuv, there is actually a machloikis, the Rashi, and in the Tosus he quotes the Rach, that has an opposite pshat. So If we take Rashi's approach, he says if there's an Adam Choshev, if there's a man of distinction in the shul, so the torch was lit in his honor, and not for luminescence, for its light producing, for its light usefulness producing quality. It's there as honor, like you might say people have candles often on tables when there's artificial light available anyway. Those kind of candles are for additional dignity, if you will, but not for their light producing quality. So that's the case of an Olam Choshev, according to Rashi, that if there's a man of distinction there, they would light candles in his honor, but not for the candle's light producing quality. Hodel, like Adam Choshev, if there isn't an important person in that shul, so the candles were lit for their light producing quality, and hence they are suitable and desirable for Havdalah, for the Havdalah Brocha. The Brocha that is over the fire that one makes at Havdalah. The Iboy Esema, Ha V'Hodik Adam Choshev, both sources regarding the shul involve the presence of an Adam Choshev, v'lo kashiha diko chazna ha deleko chazna. If there is the chazon is there. Rashi says ha v'ha diko Adam Choshev v'i iko chazna shamosh sheikh v'esignes. He's the shul sexton that eats in the shul, so af le'ura asuya sheyochal hachazon le'ura mevorchim. He needs the candle light for his eating. It's again a case of candles for their light purposes. And if you have a shul in which the sexton himself dines, therefore the candle is suitable for the Motzoi Shabbos bracha for the candle. Hadaleka chazna, if it's a shul that just has an Olam Choshev that is davening there, but no one is eating in the shul, the chazan is not there, so no bracha over such a candle. Viboy Seima, ha v'hadi iko chazna, v'lo kashya, both cases are there is a chazan, and still no distinction, no question. Hadi iko sara, hadaleka sara. Sara is a moon. If there is a moon, and let's assume it's something along the lines of a full moon, and the full moon casts such an amount of light that it would be sufficient for the necessary light for eating, so then the candles are superfluous, and therefore no bracha. If there is no moon, so the candles are there for its light, for their light quality, so the chazan can eat in their presence, and therefore you would be able to make a bracha. So there's no moon, yes bracha. Tonu Rabbanan, we have a new Tanaic source, and on the side of our Gemara we have a topic heading Machlokes Beisham Beis Hillel, a controversy between these two schools of thought. Yoshvim Beis HaMesh Revi Lufneim Ner, people are sitting in a Torah center, a Torah learning environment, and a candle is brought to them on Saturday night. Echad mevorech lekulam, oi kol echad mevorech liatzmo. How should they proceed? Does one make a bracha for everyone, or does each one make his own private bracha? Tana Rabbana, ha yoshim beis hamen shaviu ur lefneim. They were seated learning in a Torah study center, in a Torah study hall, a beis medrash, and a candle was brought to them Saturday night. Beishamayim kol echad v'echad mevorech liatzmo. Beishamayim says each one makes their own bracha. Beisil omrim echad mevorech lekulan. One makes a bracha and everyone pays attention and is yotzei through his bracha. They fulfill their requirement. He exempts them through his bracha. Mishum shenemar, the idea of having everyone together in the performance of a mitzvah is based on the pasuk that says Beroiv am hajismelch, the larger the assembly, the greater the honor to the king, the greater honor to the Almighty. So Bishlam Beisil Mefurshitaimo. Beisil is understandable insofar as they give a basis for their their opinion. Ella Beis Shammai my time. Why is Beis Shammai insistent on each one making their own bracha? Answer: Kosavri mipnei bitol Beis Hamedrash. Beis Shammai is concerned with the cessation of Torah study for that moment, for the moment required for saying the bracha, and they're concentrating on the bracha. At that point, they are not engaged in actual Torah study, and that is that's an overriding factor as far as Beis Shammai is concerned. Tanyo Nami Hoch. We have a Tanaic source that reflects this consideration in a different context. The consideration of Bittul Beis HaMedrash Shel Beis HaMemliyo Lohu Omrim Marpe Beis HaMedrash. In the study hall of Rabbi Gamliel, if someone sneezed, so there was the practice of refraining from the wish of marpe. Marpe is where we are accustomed saying. Every community, I guess, has their own tradition on what you say. Is it God bless you, or Gesundheit, or Asita, as Rashi says, but it's the reaction to a sneeze where people wish the individual good health. So in the yeshiva of Rabbi Gamliel, they would not do that, because in doing that there would be a stopping of learning for that moment. They bittul Beis HaMedrash. You see parenthetically something very significant in this Gemara that should be a message to all of us: the value and the premium placed on a moment of Torah learning is so significant that just to say marpe, one word, but at that moment everyone stops their Torah learning in order to express the good wish, that is considered a loss, and hence they would avoid doing it. We continue in the Gemara. Ein mevorchin lo al haner v'lo al habsamim shel mesim. Bracha over the candles or the spices that are associated with a funeral with the dead are not suitable for the brachas. My time, why is that? So the Gemara answers, ner l'chvoid hu de avida. The ner, the candle that's lit in the context of a funeral, is for honoring the dead, or honoring the funeral occasion, and not for producing light. And as we've seen till now, that the only candle or light source that's suitable for the bracha is something which is designed for light creation and not for honor. Besamim, the spices there are levure recha hu de avidi, therefore covering the smell, the offensive odor that is produced by body decay. So it's lavuri recha. The spices there are, or the fragrances there are, to cover foul odors, and not there for their own positive odor quality. And therefore they're not suitable for the bracha of borei minei besamim. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Shemotzin Lefonov B'Yoyim Uvalaylo, Ein Mevorchin Olav. We look at Rashi toward the lower part of the narrow lines, Dibur Masu, Kol Meis Shu Choshev, where the deceased is a person of significance or prominence, and his prominence is such that Lahotzi Lefonov Ner B'Yoyim, that they would carry candles. Candles were a mark of honor and respect, and they would use candles only. They wouldn't use them on every funeral occasion. Let's say a funeral occasion by day, unless the person was a man of or an individual of prominence. So, if the person was that level of prominence, that if he were buried by day, they would have had candles. If a person like that, had he been buried by day, they would have had candles. So even if he's buried at night, and particularly a Saturday night, one will not make a bracha over those candles, because they are there because of his level, his prominence. They are there for his covet, for his honor, and not for producing light. Even though at night one will inevitably benefit from their light, but that's not their purpose. And that's proven by the fact that they would have had candles for this kind of person even if his funeral procession would have taken place by day. However, the Chol She'ein Motzi'im Lefonav of Ela B'Layla, if it's a kind of person of, we'll call, non-prominent status, that candles are used in his funeral procession only by night. Had he been buried by day, they would not have had candles there. So if it's a nighttime, a Saturday night burial, you can make the bracha over those candles. The next section of Gemara is introduced by our Nosei, Al Eze Reach Mevorchim, on what kind of spices would we make the bracha. And we're talking about the bracha of Borei Minei Besamim we make on a Saturday night. So Omar Rav Huna, Besamim Shel Beis HaKiseh V'Shemen HaOsli La'Avir Es Azuma Ein Mevorchen Olav. Spices that are used in the bathroom, and those are used to cover foul odors, and oils, I'm talking about fragrant oils, that are used for smearing, rubbing on one's hands after a meal to to get the debris off his hands. So they are not used for the bracha of Borei Minei Besamim that we practice on Saturday night. If we look at the Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines, three lines before they get wide, Besamim Shemoy V'chodim Istin Is L'Beis HaKiseh L'Avir Mimenu Reach Ra Shel Beis HaKiseh Ein Mevorchen Olav. It's a reference to spices that a person who is an istinus, who is a finicky individual, that is doesn't want the foul odors of the Beis HaKiseh, facilities, to cling to him. So we don't make the bracha over those spices. And Shemen Osu L'Avir Esazuma, Rashi says, Shemivin B'Seif Asur L'Such Yadayim Zumois, this is oil that is it's a fragrant oil that people bring at the end of meals to get the dirt off their hands. So Ein Mevorchen Olav, Rashi adds something very important here. You don't make the bracha of Borei Atzei Besamim. That is the bracha in the case of something whose the spices origin is from a tree. So you would make Borei Atzei Besamim. Nevertheless, if you have oil that has tree pieces that are mixed in with it that produce the good fragrance, you don't use that for the Borei Atzei Besamim bracha. Aela, but there is a bracha that you make anyway. Borei Shemen Orev Mevorchen Im Shemen Shalafar Simon Hu. Let's continue with the Gemara though. The Gemara has a question. This question lasts a few lines. You can see we have a long question marking. Lameimra, are you suggesting the Chol Hecha Delav Lerecha Abida Lo Mevorchen Iluya, that spices that are not for producing their positive odor, but they have an alternative primary purpose, like to cover foul odors or remove dirt, you don't make a bracha over that. The Meisvei, we raise the following objection. Hanichnas l'chanusa shel basam. Person enters a spice shop. V'hiriach reach, and smells the pleasant odor. Afilu yoshev sham kol yom kulo, even if he is sitting there all day, ein borach ela pam echad. He makes only one bracha at the time that he enters the shop and has that first whiff. Nichnas vi yotza, he enters and exits a number of times during the day to that spice shop. Mevorach al kol pam v'pam, he will make a bracha each time. Now, v'hohocha delav l'recha hu de'avida, here is a case where it's not made for reach, v'ko mevorach, and nevertheless he is making a bracha. In other words, it's a shop that is there for selling spices. It's not as if the spices are there for your smelling them, and yet it says in this source we make the bracha. So the Gemara answers, in Lerecho Nami Hu Davido. In fact, the spices in a spice shop are there for producing that smell. The spices are, we'll say, they're lined up in the shop, not just just as a place to buy the spices per se, but they're there also to produce the pleasant odor. Ki hechi de nirchu in shivanei suvinizvin minei. So that is the method. That's the means through which people are drawn to buy the spices. So they are there. They're set up in the shop with this express intention of people smelling them, which of course will allure them to purchasing. Therefore, as at the end of this particular sugya, we say that if the spice is there for producing the smell, the positive smell, make a bracha over it. If it's there for some other primary purpose, like removal or covering up a bad odor or removing dirt, so then you don't make the specific spice bracha. Tonu Rabbanan. A person is walking outside of a city and picks up and senses a smell. Of course, we're talking about a positive, a spice-related smell. The majority are Gentiles or idol worshippers. No bracha. The majority are Jews. Then one can make a bracha. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilu rov Yisrael nami eino mevorech. Even if the majority of the community were Jewish, no bracha. Mineshe benois Yisrael mekatros likshofim, because the Jewish women practice sorcery, and in sorcery there is the burning of spices to all kinds of perceived entities. The Gemara asks, "Otu kulu l'kshofim mekatron?" You're making it sound like all Jewish women are involved with the black magic. Is that really so? The Gemara answers, "No. Havile miuto l'kshofim. There's a minority that are involved with kishuf, with black magic. U miuto nami legamer es hakelim. And there's another minority use of spices for infusing clothing with a nice smell. In other words, the burning is for the purpose of the benefit of the clothing. So you put these two minorities together. If you say it's 30% of kshofim and 30% for the gamir sakelim, ishtakach ruba delav lerecha of it. So the majority is not for incense purposes. For what's a spice incense purposes, the chol ruba delav lerecha ofid lo mevorach. In any situation where the majority is not for the immediate smelling of the spice purpose, so we don't make a bracha. So just like we saw in the case of the candle above, the candle that one makes the bracha for Motzei Shabbos must be a candle lit for its light quality, for its light producing quality, as opposed to honor issues. So too with spices, they have to be. We have to be talking about spices that are there for the immediate benefit or pleasure from the smell, as opposed to spices that are there for some other reason. Omar Rav Chiya bar Abba Omar Rav Yochanan Hamahalich Darve Shabbosus B'Tiveria Uvemotzoi Shabbosus B'Tzipori V'Riach Reach. If a person is in the area of on Friday afternoon in Tiberia, and Saturday night in Sipori, and he picks up a smell, perceives a smell, Eino Mevorech. He's not going to make a brocha over that smell, because Mitneshe Cheskosoi Eino Osui Elo Legamer Boy Esakelim. You can rest assured that it's for the purpose of infusing clothing with a nice odor, as opposed to producing a smell for immediate smell benefit. And in Tiberia, the communal practice was legamer esakelim, to infuse clothing with smell through the smoking of spices underneath the clothing, and the clothing would absorb that smoke. In Teveria, they did this on Friday afternoons, and in Sipori, they did this on Saturday night. And what is probably of greater significance for our sugya, when you're talking about besomim, let's say besomim of Motsoi Shabbos, so that would be the Sipori case. But there's in this Gemara, there's another topic that is taking place simultaneously, and that other topic is the basic bracha over spices. And that and Teveria will have relevance for that. Tanu Rabbanan, Hoya Mahalach Beshuk Shel Akum. Person is passing through a marketplace of idol worshippers. Nisratze Riach Areza Chote. If he develops a desire to enjoy the odor, he is a sinner. The reason for that is that the spices there are used for service of their idols. We're talking about a market of idol worshippers, and one is not allowed to benefit from things that are of an idolatrous nature. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'ein mevorchim al haner ad sheyausu. No bracha is made over candles until you. Yausu comes from the word the shorish that's similar to the word hano'o, benefit, where one benefits. So the Mishnah says that one doesn't make a bracha over the candle until he benefits. We'll see in this sugya a machloikis between Rav Yehuda and Rava, and the names are highlighted with diamonds, making it easy to spot the two shittas, and in this case the two shittas are far away from one another. And you'll notice the topic heading that we have on the side of the Gemara. We've written under the topic heading and structural note, the diamond is featured, and we note, Machloikis Rav Yehuda v'Rava b'firush ein mevorchan ala ner ad shiosu. They are Amoroyim that are arguing as to what the explanation of the Mishnah is, that one is not to benefit, or not to make a bracha over the candle until he benefits. So, first shita, you see the diamond, Omrav Yura, Omrav Lo, Ya'usu, Ya'usu Mamish. The expression Ya'usu in the Mishnah doesn't mean actual benefit. Elo kol shi ilu oimein. Bekiruv, Umishtamish Lora, Vafilu Berichuk Mokoim. It's the type of light quality that if you were standing near it, you could benefit from it. So even if you are at a distance from it and you are not actually benefiting from it, it's still suitable for making the bracha. Once again, as far as review is concerned, it's a light quality where it's objectively produces light that could be beneficial. Not necessary to you, but to someone standing near it. And if it's that level of light quality, so then you can make a bracha over it, even though you're not actually benefiting. According to Rava, if you skip down and you see the next diamond, Rava says, it says, Ya'usu Mamish, that you have to be standing and you benefiting. In other words, you are near it. We continue with the Gemara at the top of the upper part of the page, the fourth line from the top. V'chein Omer of Ashi Berichuk Mokom Shanina. The Mishnah that says that you can make a bracha Ashi, so means even if you personally are at a distance from the candle, from the source of light. Meisvei, we raise an objection and notice that we have a long question marking here. Hoysolo ner tumuna b'chekoi oy b'panos. There's a candle that's one has to be careful with this example, but it means like under his cloak, tamuna b'cheko, it's covered with something, or b'panos, it's covered with some type of glass, a type of lantern, o shirosh shel heves, v'lo nishtamish lora, or a person sees a flame and doesn't use its light, o nishtamish lora v'lo rosh shel heves, or a person is using the light but doesn't see the actual flame, eino mevorech, he does not make a broch, ach yura shel heves yishamish lora, until he sees the flame and uses the light. So here we have a source dictating under what circumstances one makes the bracha over the candle, over the light. So bishlama mishtamesh le'oiro v'lo rosh el heves. The scenario of using the light and not seeing the flame or the source of light, mishkacha, so that can be imagined, that is found, the kaimo bekeren zavis, it's around a corner. In other words, you are at one side of a corner, and there's a, let's say, a building or some obstruction there, and around the corner is a torch. So even though you don't see the torch, you still see the light. So that explains that particular example. Ella, the other example of ro shalheves v'lo nishtamish lo'ro hechi mishkachas lo, where you have a case of seeing a torch and not benefiting from the light. How is that explained? Lav demerachiko, is it not a case where you are at a distance? That would mean you can see the torch and you are not benefiting from the light. And it says in this source that you do not make a bracha. So this is a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda, who said that even berichuk mokom, you do make a bracha. Here we see richuk mokom, no. The Gemara says, loy, rejection of that question. Kagon de amya v'ozla. This is a case of a dying flame. This is a case where you can see the flame, but it has very low luminescent quality. It's amya v'ozla. It's dying out. The next few lines of Gemara we have placed in brackets so as to enable you to skip quickly to see Rava. And in the bracketed section, the Gemara deals with this concept of something that's dying out. That having been said, we'll learn the bracketed section, Tana Rabbanan. Another reason for having this in brackets is that very often when a Gemara begins with Tonu Rabbonon, it represents a new sugya. And in this case, it would not be accurate to describe this as a new sugya when Rava appears right afterwards, picking up on the point that Rav Yehuda had mentioned beforehand. So we want to isolate this and not create a situation, or to prevent a situation from someone thinking that this is a new trend of thought. So, but all that having been said, we can now learn the bracketed section. Tana Rabbanan, Gecholim loy chashos mevorchem aleihem, omamos ein mevorchem aleihem. So there are two qualities of Gecholim described here. One is lo chashos, and one is omamos. Let's continue in the Gemara before we engage in translation. Hechi domi lochashos. What is meant by coals that are lochashos, and as it says in the source, and hence you would be able to make a bracha over it on Saturday night. Amar of Chisa, kol she'ilu machnis l'soichen kesam v'doylekes me'aleha. They have enough heat and fire quality that you could put a straw or stubble in them, and they will, and it, the straw will burn on its own. So that it doesn't, it, that level of fire or that level of coal burning, which would create enough heat or fire to burn the straw or the kesam, the twig. That is enough for justifying a bracha. Hibaya laho, omamos o ermamos. The word in the source that was the second example, we'll call the dying coals, is the word with an aleph, or is the word with an aryan? Toshma, diomar of chisto bar avdimi, arozim lo ermamuhu began elokim. So that in this pasuk you see the reference to coals with an ayin. Rava Omar, going back to the issue of Yeusu of the Mishnah, that we don't make a bracha over the candle unless Ash Yeusu. Rava says Yeusu Mamish, that means you have to be standing next to the fire, next to the candle, and benefiting from it in order to make the bracha. V'kama, what standard can we set here to say when you are Yeusu Mamish? We have in this regard, we have two opinions. Omar Ula, Kedei Shiakir Bein Iser Lepunyon. These are two different kinds of coins. They're actually fairly small coins. You have enough light that you can recognize the difference between these two kinds of coins. Chizkiya Omar Kedei Shiakir Bein Meluzma Shel Tveria LeMeluzma Shel Tzipori. Chizkiya also offers a coin-related example. Meluzma was a type of coin. Apparently in Tveria they had one coinage, and in Tzipori, another community in Israel, another kind of coinage. They're somewhat similar in whatever was size or imprimatur, but there's enough light for one to note the difference. Continuing with stories or examples of making brachas over candles or light fires on Saturday night, Rav Yehuda Mevorach A Debei Adadaila. Adadaila was a name of a person, and notice this is Rav Yehuda. It ties into Rav Yehuda above. Adadaila's house was at a distance from Rav Yehuda, so that didn't stop Rav Yehuda. As this is Rav Yehuda consistent with his own reasoning, that the fact that it's a distance, as long as for one who was near it, it was suitable for use, for its light use, even if you happen to be far from it, it's acceptable for a bracha. Rava Mevorach Adabe Gurya Bar Chama. Now, Gurya Bar Chama was a home of this fellow located next to Rava, and this is Rava Lashitaso also, who insists on you've got to be near the fire in order to be able to make the bracha. Abaye Mevorach Adabe Bar Avua. And Abaye made his bracha over the fire burning in Bar Avua's home. Rashi doesn't comment on that particular location and distance, but we'll have to assume for right now that the Gemara knew very well who Abaye's neighbors were and would be able to figure what Abaye's shita was from this. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Ein Mechazrin Al Ha'ur Kederch Shemechazrin Al HaMitzvahs. One is not expected to seek out the candle on Saturday night as one would be expected to seek out a mitzvah performance. In other words, if a person doesn't have his own candle, he doesn't have to go out of his way to find a source of light over which to make a bracha. Omar Rabbi Zera, Mireish Havim Ahadarna. Zera says, at first I used to seek out a candle. Even if in the event I didn't have my own, I would seek out where is there a source of light over which to make the bracha. Kevin Shimana Lahod Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. When I heard Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's teaching, Ano Nami Lo Mahadarna, I too stopped spending time seeking it out. However, if I would chance upon it, a source of light, a candle for a bracha, so I would make the bracha. Here the Mishnah mentioned a new point. One who had eaten food that requires a final bracha and forgot to make the final bracha and then went on his way. What does he do now with regard to making the final bracha? Does he have to go back to where he ate or make the final bracha where he remembered? And this is under our topic heading on the side of the Nosei we've written, Be'inyan Hatzorich Lachzor L'mokam Achilos L'misho Ochav Lo Birch, the topic of whether it's necessary to go back to where you had eaten to make the final bracha, or you don't have to actually go back to this to that place. The Gemara continues, Om Rav Zvid Vitemo Rabdimi Bar Abba Machlokes B'shochach. The Machlokes B'shamay and B'shila, where B'shamay says you have to go back and Beis Hillel says you don't have to go back. This machlokas is only with regard to a person that forgot. He forgot to say his final bracha where he ate. Avol b'mezid, if a person says, I know that I should make my bracha now, but I'm not. I'm going to wait till later. And in the meantime, he picks himself up and goes somewhere else, with the knowledge that he did not make the bracha. Everyone will agree, even Beis Hillel will concede that you have to go back to the place that you ate in order to make the bracha. So this is what Rav Zvid teaches us. The Gemara asks, Pshita, V'shochach Tanan, it's obvious that that's the din, because the machloikas in the Mishnah was in the case of shochach, where he forgot. If it's a case where he deliberately changed his location, not having made the bracha, of course there is no machlokes. So mahu detema, without Rav Zvid, I would have thought hu adin afilu b'mezid, that the machlokes in the Mishnah of needing to go back or not even is true, even in a case where it was done, was location transfer with knowledge. V'hai dekotoni v'shochach, and that which the Mishnah teaches the case of having forgotten, to show us how far Beis Shammai goes in insisting on return, even where you merely forgot. Komashmolon, Rav Zvid tells us that it's not so that the machlokus is even on the mezid level, but the machlokus is only on the shochach level, because on the mezid level, even Beis Hillel agrees you've got to go back. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source featuring the machlokis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel of needing to go back. Omru lohem Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, the Divrechem, according to you that you have to go back, Mishocha barosh habira v'shochach v'yorad v'lo birech yachsel barosh habira v'yvorech. Someone who had their meal at the top of a bira. Bira is a very large, tall structure. And there, let's see, we'll just say there are many steps that are needed to get back up there. And so he ate at the top floor and then forgot, didn't make his bracha achrona and came down. Are you expecting him to trouble himself to go all the way back up and make the final bracha? Amru lohen Beis Shammai leBeis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, divrechem, according to you that don't want to trouble the person, Mishishonach shochach arniki barosh habira lo yalavid lena. Person who forgot his wallet filled with many bills, lots of money, would he not go back and pick up his wallet? Of course he would, and for his own honor, for his own needs, he'll go up there. So for the honor of heaven, all the more so. In other words, to do the mitzvah the right way, all the more so we will expect him to go back to where he ate. Hano Trei Tamide. There were, it's a story involving two incidents involving the students. Chad Ovid B'Shogi B'Shamay V'Ashik Arnagi V'Davo. One had forgotten. Shogeg means he forgot making his final bracha in the place that he ate, and he went back in accordance with Beis Shammai's ruling, and lo and behold, he found a purse full of gold. V'chad Ovid B'mezid K'Beis Hillel. The other one with adopted Beis Hillel's shita, not under Beis Hillel's terms, but Beis Hillel's shita, meaning not going back. B'mezid means this Talmud took the initiative of not going back when he had left knowingly, not having made the bracha. And he decided, I'm going to adopt Beis Hillel's approach, even though Beis Hillel didn't say their halacha necessarily under Mezid. But this Talmud said, well, Beis Hillel says you don't have to go back. So even knowingly changing his location, he did not go back. The Achle Aryeh, and he was consumed by a lion. Rabo Babarchana have a ko'ozel b'shayarto. Rabo Babarchana was on a caravan, ochal, and he had eaten a meal. The Ishtali v'lo borach, and he forgot and didn't make the bracha where they had been encamped. And in the meantime, the caravan continued its trip, its route. Omar, so Rabo Barbachana said, "Heichi avid, what am I going to do now? I amina lahu inshoi l'vorech." If I tell them, oh, you know, I forgot to make my final bracha where we ate, Amri li, they'll tell me, Borech hocha, make your bracha over here, kol hecha dimavarchis l'rachmonavarchis, wherever you make your bracha, you're making your bracha to the Almighty, and he is all over. Mutav, and it would seem that they were halachically based on the Beis Hillel approach, that in the case that you forgot, and it says here clearly you forgot to make the bracha, so you make it wherever you remember. However, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana wanted to go further. He wanted to be machmir. Mutav. So he said like this. He said, Mutav de amino leho in shoy yoyne de davo. Better that I should tell them a story that I forgot a golden dove. And hoder v'ozil uborech. So they enabled him, or they went back for him, or enabled him to go back and waited for him. Whatever the case is, they didn't continue on the journey. So he went back to where he had eaten, and vishtakach yonu d'davo, and he found a golden dove. Maishno yoina, what's the significance of a yona, that's the example that's used in this particular story. The Mesilin, Knesset Yisrael Yona. Mesilin is an Aramaic word from the word moshal, where the tuf and the shin interchange. It means that the Jewish people are compared to a dove, a yona. Tichtiv, kanfe yona nechbe bekesef avrusa birakwa chorutz. That posuk is in the context of, well, for our purposes, a connection between the Jewish people and the bird. The yona, ma yona einu nitzelus ela bichnafeha. The dove is a rather passive type of a bird that's, its only means of defense is its wings. Af Yisrael einon nitzelun ela b'mitzvus. So too the Jewish people are a very small and in effect a weak people, and their defense, their success and salvation is only through mitzvos. There's the Bach has on the side under his Ois Aleph has a Lishna Achrina, and it says Ma Yoina Zu Kenofel Magina Seleha, just like the Yona is protected by its wings. Af Yisrael Mitzvos Magina Salem. So too the Jewish people are protected by their mitzvah performance. Rashi says, Yoino eino nitzola sel b'chofel o borachas, either, what does it mean that she saved through her wings, either through simply flying away, and the wings are her means of flying, o nilchemes b'roshe agapel, or she'll curve her wings over and use the tips of the wings to attempt to ward off whoever is attacking her. Continuing in the Gemara, Ad Emosai Hu Mevorech, the topic heading that we've assigned to this section of Gemara reads, the Gomar Le'achol Velo Birech Miad, a person finished eating and did not make his brocha immediately. Ad Mosai Yochol Mevorech, how much time does he have in order to make the brocha? If someone, let's say, ate today and remembered the next day that he didn't make a brocha, so obviously too much time has passed. Kamo, and so the Mishnah had said ad shi uchul hamozon, until the uchul has to do with digested. So the Gemara asks here, kamo shiur equal, how long is that time of equal? Omer Rabbi Yochanan calls man she'eno ro'ev, as long as a person is not hungry again, so he is satisfied from the meal that he had eaten beforehand, so he can still make his final bracha. Reishol kishomar calls man shiyitzma machmas achiloso. As long as he has a feeling of thirst from the meal that he ate, so he's still considered associated with the meal and hence makes his final bracha. Omar le Rav Yemar Bar Shami le Marzutra, the Amri Law, another version name wise, Rav Yemar Bar Shizvi le Marzutra. Mi Omar Reish Lakish Hachi, did Reish Lakish really say that namely Kozma Shiitzma Machmas Achilasa, Vomar Rav Ami, Omar Reish Lakish, Kama Shiur Ikol, Kidei Lahaloch Arba Milin. See, here's a different version of Reish Lakish. And that is, how long do you have to make the bracha? And that's enough time that it would take to walk for meal. For meal, so assuming that each meal is 18 minutes, so it would be 72 minutes. A meal is approximately a kilometer. So the Gemara, in trying to resolve this seeming contradiction, says, Lo kashya, kan bachila meruba, kan bachila mu'etes. We are not going to commit ourselves to which is which, because this very point is a machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos. But for our purposes, simply one halacha of Reish Lakish applies to a big meal, and the other halacha of Reish Lakish applies to a small meal. Baal lohem yayin v'chule, the Gemara went on to mentioning that you don't answer omein unless it's the bracha. The omein is the response to a bracha, so you don't answer omein unless it's the bracha of a Yisrael, of a Jew. Lemeimra, are you suggesting the Yisrael of Agav de lo shama kula bracha oine v'chilo shama hechinofik? It sounds from our Mishnah, which had said that you don't answer omein to a kusis bracha until you hear the whole bracha. If you hear a bracha from Yisrael, so then you don't have to hear the whole bracha. Is that what you're saying? And if that were the case, so then how could one be exempted through a bracha that you didn't hear the whole thing? That's what the Gemara is asking. It says, v'chilo shama hechinofik. If you didn't hear the whole bracha, how could you be yotzei? So it's important just to emphasize that the Gemara is working with the assumption that we're talking about people sitting around wanting to have one exempt the other through a bracha, and hence if you're expecting exemption through someone else's bracha recitation, if you don't hear the whole thing, how can you be yotzei? The Gemara answers that our assumption is incorrect. Omar Chio Barav B'Shaloach Ali Mohen. We're not talking about someone that ate with them. So that if your question was how can you be yotzei with someone else's final bracha, well, we're not talking about someone that ate with them in the first place. He doesn't need to hear the bracha in order to achieve his personal exemption. He simply didn't eat with them, and therefore, if it's a Jew that's making the bracha, you don't have to hear the entire bracha. You just have to hear the end of the bracha. And since he's Jewish, you can assume that he was blessing the Almighty. In the case of a Kusi, though, there is suspicion that if you didn't hear the beginning, what was he saying? Who was he blessing at the beginning of his bracha? The Kusi were people whose religious practices came into question, to the extent that maybe they in fact reverted to idol worship. And hence, if you don't hear the beginning of the bracha as well, you don't hear the whole bracha, that he may have been blessing his idol. The Gemara continues, V'chein Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Avua, B'shaloach Olimoen. Rav Nachman says the same pshat as Chiyo Barav. In the Mishnah, we were featuring someone who did not eat with the others. And hence, he doesn't, if it's a Jew that was making the bracha, this listener didn't have to hear the entire bracha, and he can nevertheless answer Omein. Omalei Rav L'chiyo Brei. Rav tells his son, Bri, my son, Chatoif Ubrich. Chatoif is grab the opportunity to lead in the bracha recitation. In other words, be the one to say the bracha. V'chein Omar Rav Huna L'Rabo Brei, Chatoif Ubrich. Grab the chance to say the bracha. So the Gemara asks, Lemeimra de Mevorech Odif Mimadoni Omein. Are you suggesting that the one who says the bracha is considered of greater merit than the one who responds with Omein? The Har Tanya, we have the following Tanaic source that would say the contrary. Rabbi Yosef Megodolone Omein Yosef Min HaMevorech. Greater is the one who responds Omein than the one who leads the bracha. Omalei Rav Nehoroi Rav Nohoroi explains Hashomayim Kain. By Hashomayim Kain is an expression meaning a type of oath, and by golly, so it is. Hashomayim Kain Hu Teda, and we can prove it. Sherei Gulayrin Yordin Umizgarin Bimuchama, the warriors, the fighting soldiers, they conduct the battle. The Giborim Yordin Menatzchem, and the higher officials, the Giborim, are literally the warriors, but they are apparently are a higher level individual than the Gulayrin. They go and clean up the booty. They go and finish off the job. In other words, they benefit. They're the ones that clean up the booty and the benefit of the war. So what's the imagery is that even though the main work is done by others, the ones who come in at the end are the ones that really benefit. So be the one to answer Amen is what's suggested in this source. That being said, we have then a kasha. We have a problem for what Rav was saying and what Rav Huna was saying to his son. The Gemara says, Tanoi hi. The issue is a machlokes tanoim. Desanyo echad amavorach v'echad oino omein. B'mashma. Ela shememarin l'mavorach yoyser min oino omein. Here we have another source that says whether one makes the bracha or one says omein. Both are praiseworthy. However, reward is given more quickly to the one who answers omein. Boy, minei Shmuel meirav. Mahu lanois omein achar tinoikos shel beis rabon. Is one to answer Amen to a bracha recited by children who are learning how to say brachas from their teacher? So that if one is passing by a school and you hear children reciting brachas, can you answer Amen to their school recited brachas? So Omar Lei, Achar Hakol Oinin Amen, after everyone's bracha, you can answer Amen. Chutz mitinei shabes rabban, with the exception of children who are in the course of learning how to say brachas. Hoyul islamin asun. That is because they are reciting the brachas having nothing to do with anything other than the practicing of the text of the bracha. That's their whole purpose. Vahani mimi b'dolo idon miftarayhu. This is true. As far as not answering Amen to a child's bracha is only if it's not at the time the child is reciting the Haftorah and the brachas of the Haftorah in shul. I will be even if the Rayu Oinin, but if you have a child who is reciting the brachas over the Haftorah, then you do answer Amen. Rashi says, Avo beidon miftarayu kishoimrim haftorah muvorchin b'torah ubenovi oinin achreim amen. When the haftorah is read, the haftorah is the last aliyah in shul on Shabbos or Yontif, or there's a haftorah reading. So a child is qualified for that reading. So if he reads that section and makes the brachas over that, as well as the brachas over the novi, the section read from the prophets after the Torah reading. So, as we said, a child is qualified for that reading and bracha recitation. Answer Amen to those brachas. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a new discussion on the side under our No Say heading. Shemen Me'akev Ez HaBracha. The use of oil at the end of a meal is a binding factor before saying the Birchas HaMazon. And this has to do with Nikoyon Yodayim, the Birchas HaMazon, the cleanliness of hands for Birchas HaMazon recitation. Tanu Rabbanan, Shemen Me'akev Es HaBracha, Divrei Rabbi Ziloi. Rashi says, She'osur Lezamein Ad Shiyuva, the Me'akev Es HaBracha means it's osur to have the Zimun until the oil is brought forth. V'chein Le'inin She'me'akev Brachas Kol Dover, Haba Bikinuach Suda, She'osur La'ochlo below bracha, ad shi yaschuhu. Kinua suda, we can say, are things brought that are dessert type items. They generate their own bracha, so that it's also to make the bracha over these dessert items until you clean your hands off from the dirt that accumulated on them from the basic meal. Continuing in the source, Rabbi Zivoy Omer Eino Ma'akev. Rabbi Zivoy disagrees with Rabbi Ziloy and says that the oil is not a binding factor. Rabbi Acha Omer Shemen Toiv Ma'akev. Rashi says Shemen Toiv Sheyesh Bo Besomim, fragrant oil. Is Ma'akev is a bracha l'misha rogil bo, someone who is accustomed to using, to rubbing his hands with this fragrant oil, so it is a binding factor, without which he can't say his birchas hamazon. Rabbi Zuhumoi Omer Kishem Shem Mezuham Posul Avoido Kach Yodayim Mezuham Es Psuos L'bracha. Rabbi Zuhumoi, very likely these names are contrived to correspond to the halacha that they are saying. Maybe other possibilities exist, but it's very interesting that these are the names in the source when most of these names actually have relevance to the topic they are discussing. So Rabbi Zuhamoi says that just like mezuham, mezuham is something that's filthy, is posel for serving in the Beis HaMikdash, Lavoda is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, so too filthy hands are unfit for bracha recitation. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Ano lo ziloy velo zivoy velo zu hamoy yodana. I don't know all of these people. Elo masnisa yodana. I know a Tanaic source. The Yom Rav Yudah Marav, the Yom Rilo, the masnisa tana. Some have it as Rav Yudah teaching it, and some have it as a Tanaic source. The following is a pasuk that is broken down and teaches us halachas that are relevant to our topic. The pasuk begins with Kadishtem, so Elu Mayim Rishonim. That's a reference to washing before a meal. V'isan Kadoshim, Elu Mayim Achronim. That's a reference to the need to wash at the end of a meal. Ki Kadosh, Ze Shemen. Ani Hashem Elokechem, Zu Brocha. So that you see from this source that you need to, in order to get to the bracha, you've got to go through these other things that are referenced, whether it be Mayim Achronim or the oil. And then finally, after that, you then say the bracha. One will notice that Tosfos adds another dimension in terms of on a more halacha lemaisa level, so that those who are interested can see this in our Tosfos Shir. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a Shir on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.